inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Sugar, oh honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you, honey.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. And today is the day for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
Here we are, starting off with great music. Meg, good for you.
Hey, hey. That, well, sounded, I was trying to think of all the garden songs.
That sounds great.
All the garden songs.
Oh, absolutely. Good for you. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. The weather's gorgeous. Oh, we got things starting. I'm seeing things coming back alive again.
Absolutely. It is great. I think the rest of the week, we stay in the 70s, and at night, 50s, 60s. So
works for me.
Glorious weather.
All right.
But there may be.
I had a feeling.
There may be a couple of problems here. Number one, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow.
Yeah, that's not so good.
That's not so good. That's six more weeks of winter. Now, I don't know if I trust a groundhog to do scheduling.
I've always wondered about that. I'm not too sure about that.
Exactly. But, just for those who maybe weren't listening last week, we did have a great survey done by the National Gardening Association with Frost Dates in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
Remember us talking about that?
Yes.
Punxsutawney Phil says we're going to go 6 weeks with more winter. Well, we also have March 27th was our kind of magic date here where you only had a 10% chance of a frost. And that's about 6 weeks away, too. So looks like the National Gardening Organization and Punxsutawney Phil are kind of in agreement.
That's probably not a good sign.
Not a good sign at all. Not a good sign at all. And, I was talking to a good friend, and they said, we're hopefully easing into spring. But don't forget Easter. Remember, we always have an Easter cold.
That is true.
Every
Very typical.
Year. And Easter is not until, help me with the date, April.
Oh, gosh, it's later this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to say it is later this year. Probably maybe middle of April. So point is, we've got this gorgeous weather. Let's enjoy it because we do have some cool weather coming up, but maybe it'll be quick. That's what's good about Pensacola. You can even have a freeze, and you can freeze overnight and be 70 degrees the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be optimistic here.
All right, Easter Sunday, April 20th.
April 20th?
Yes.
Wow.
Sunday, April 20th.
That is late. So maybe we'll have a warm Easter.
I don't know.
Who knows? Because all of this has to do with our spring gardening. There are a whole host of topics that we're going to need to discuss insofar as spring is concerned. I wanted to start off with that this morning and tell you something here that I have seen from IFAS. Do you remember last week, Meg, we talked about the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide?
Yes, which was very good.
Put out by, it's a bunch of vegetables. Mm-hmm. It was 40 of them. And when to plant, kind of which months to plant those, is put out by IFAS, which is the Institute of Food and Agricultural Services at the University of Florida, and it works with our county agents. Well, this week, across the internet, comes the North Florida Annual Planting Guide.
Okay.
Now, this is one that I think maybe more people might be interested in. It lists 52 annuals.
Wow.
I will not read all 52.
That would take the whole hour, I think.
Take the whole hour. But let me just hit some of our favorites here. It goes A to Z, ageratum to zinnia.
Oh, so, my gosh.
But in between, we've got all kinds of stuff from balsam to celosia, coleus, Dusty Miller, one of my all-time favorites. Geraniums, Impatience, Calanchos, Lobelia, Marigolds, Moss Rose. It's Portulaca. It's one of my other favorites. New Guinea Impatience, Pansies, Petunias, Snapdragons, Sunflowers, Verbena, Vinca, and Zinnia, plus some more. But this is kind of a cool thing because it not only has the months where one would want to plant these, but it has the spacing of each of those plants. It says how far apart you should plant them.
That's helpful.
So it really is a cool thing. You could go on the internet. I think if you just Google North Florida Annual Planting Guide, you might want to put IFAS at the end of that. You can print it off, and that's what I did. And it really is fun. And what it does, Meg, it kind of gets you in the mood for spring, because this is all the color that we plant in our yard come springtime. Not yet.
I was going to say, we don't want to not just yet, right?
No, not yet. But it's there. And so as you plan, and that's what we do a lot in the winter, is plan for spring. Maybe in the same area where you had some color last year. Maybe you want a new area this year. Maybe you're going to totally redo your landscape. Or maybe you're just going to go out and buy a few clay pots and plant some annuals. It doesn't make any difference. It's just all fun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great list for those who are interested.
No, that's very helpful.
It's called the North Florida Annual Planting Guide.
Excellent.
Very good. And we'll probably refer to that.
Okay.
As we get into spring a little bit more. One other thing I wanted to mention, and I got a nice text from our great friend Catherine about the UWF Camellia Garden Tour.
Oh, good.
And this is great. This is on Sunday, February 23rd, noon to 4. For those that aren't familiar with that, the Camellia Garden at UWF was a partnership between the UWF Retired Employees Association and the Pensacola Camellia Club. And they had a very important mission was to preserve and protect every camellia that had been registered in Pensacola and grown by local camellia enthusiasts.
Well, what a great mission.
Oh, and it was. And they have found over 100.
No kidding, that many?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you may want to go out and take a look at that. Because this time of year is when camellias are going to be blooming, and it might be a fun tour. I have a feeling it's free. I don't know that for sure.
Right.
But I know how the Camellia Club works, and they would just allow anybody to come and enjoy.
So when is the tour again?
It is Sunday, February 23rd, noon to 4.
Fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if you look at the list, there's a nice brochure. I'm sure they'll have those out there. As you read through the list of the camellias that they have found, you will recognize so many names because they're our friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really fun to read that to see, I didn't know that fella did that.
Right.
You know, of course, it might have been in 1953.
Right, a while ago.
Some of us were around then. But the point is, it's really a cool thing. And so if you want to just take a tour up to UWF, give it a shot on Sunday, February 23rd, noon to 4.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun.
No doubt about it.
Okay, Mike, we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Pensacola's Expert Panel with Mike Wiggins and The Garden Line. If you've got questions for Mike, now is the time to text in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with The Garden Line and our host, Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question or a comment for Mike, 850-437-1620. Mike, we heard right away from our friend at Paul at Blue Sky Landscaping, and he mentioned that the book, that IFAS, I-F-A-S, he says that they also have a free plant app for natives and Florida-friendly plants to use.
That's great. I did not know that.
So that's the IFAS.
Right, IFAS. But it's for native plants.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's good. I'll run that off, and maybe we can talk about that next week a little bit. Because a lot of folks, that's what they want to plant, is native plants, mainly maybe to stave off some of the environmental conditions we're having. If it's a native plant, you may not have as many problems. But, yes, we need to do that. That'll be fun.
Okay. We had someone that texted in that looks like Easter is on Sunday the 20th, which means Good Friday is that Friday the 17th, 2020. Yeah, 2019, 18th, that Friday.
Let me tell you about Good Friday.
Okay.
Good Friday is a very interesting date insofar as gardening is concerned, because I hate to use this term, but many of the old timers, let's just say many of our senior gardeners,
yes,
will plant their vegetables on another date but Good Friday.
Interesting.
Good Friday. Back in the day, a long time ago, when we were in the retail garden center business and we sold bulk seed. I mean, you could come in and say, I want 50 cents worth of turnip seed, okay? Put it in a little packet and go. We would have a line all the way out the business, all the way to the street, with people lined up getting all of their vegetable seeds and all their vegetable plants on Good Friday.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think just a lot of the old, you know, a lot of agricultural community, a lot of the farmers are really believe in Good Friday.
Is that a Southern thing, or is that something you think that's like national?
I would guess it is a Southern thing, but I will tell you, I know some of the people that kind of wouldn't plan on any time but Good Friday, and they were very successful.
Wow.
they knew what they were doing. So just take a hint, but see, that's way into April.
Yeah, I just double-checked. It's Friday, yeah. April 18th.
Yeah,
I just want to be sure I was right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and Easter's that Sunday.
Event, Good Friday is a special day for gardeners.
Interesting. Okay.
No,
wow. That's very interesting. Okay. Well, we're getting quite a few texts this morning. So one person sent in that their sago palm. Oh, you wanted to?
I don't want to interrupt. I want to talk about the sago palm. But let me go back to Paul.
Yes,
okay. And Blue Sky real quick. Paul, good to hear from you again. No question. That's a guy who knows what he's doing, quite frankly. Paul, I have to tell you, I checked out one of your landscapes down on Bio Tahara, where you put in a bunch of the leopard plants, one that I call the tractor seat plant, which is the big, round, green foliage.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fall, it sends up these yellow flowers.
Ooh.
And, Paul, it was really gorgeous this year. I made a special trip by there. It's a house that belonged to a friend of mine. So I was driving by there, and man, it looked good. The whole landscape looked good. This was a huge landscape job that Paul did that is world class. But I always like to talk about the leopard plants.
Leopard plants.
Anyway, Paul, good job.
Okay. So this is a question about the sago palm. They said that it kind of took it hard during this last frost. So can you give me some recommendations on getting it back to shape and send in a picture? It doesn't look good, Mike. It's pretty brown.
Oh, I don't doubt it a bit. Yeah, what I would do is this. One, I would hold back on cutting all those brown fronds off. I mean, they're not going to come back green. I would do that. And then as soon as we get probably into, I'm going to say March, I would fertilize that sago palm, being sure that whatever fertilizer you use has magnesium sulfate in it. Now, if you go to your garden center and say, I want some palm tree food, it's going to have magnesium sulfate in it. But that's very important. Of course, it's got nitrogen, phosphate, potash, all of that good stuff. You fertilize it, and I think it'll come back. It will come back. But I wouldn't start cutting and pruning on that plant until we get a little bit further along in the spring.
Okay, so that's great advice. So yeah. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah,
and I suspect a lot of folks had sago palms do some damage.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And of course, you know, like we talked about last week, you're just so tempted because it's so horrible. That beautiful plant that you enjoyed all season is now just brown as a berry, and you want to get out there and say, I'm going to cut that brown off. I'm just going to do it. But I think we probably should not. It's like citrus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the main one we talk about insofar as damage, below 20 degrees. And we went below 20 degrees. So there may be some damage. But that's the one plant, if you will, the citrus family, that you really want to leave alone until we get into spring. Then you can kind of cut back what's bad and then do the old scratch test on the bark. If it scratches and it's brown, keep pruning. If it's green, you're good. So
great advice.
That's how I would stick to that.
That's great advice. Okay, got another question for you.
Oh.
Okay. Would like to know what soil amendments to apply to prepare for spring flower beds. And that's from John in Gulf Breeze.
John, that's a great question. Maybe one of the most important questions that we could ask ourselves right now. So many, and I'm guilty too, I am guilty, will buy beautiful blooming plants or landscape plants, whatever, and plant them in the sand Now, you're in Gulf Breeze, so you've got it a little worse than some of us in town, and especially those a little bit in the northern part of the county. But you've got to amend the soil. So we have no soil. We have sand.
Right.
And so that's not going to grow much. I mean, we do it, and it works sometimes. But if you really want to do it right, here's what I would do. I would clear the area off. It's bare dirt, bare sand, if you will. I would incorporate Canadian sphagnum peat moss, maybe a couple of inches. Spread that over the area. A light fertilizer with low nitrogen, like a 4-12-12, and you can find many different formulas, but a lower nitrogen, just a light sprinkling of that in the bed. A little bit of lime, a little bit of dolomite lime. Not too much. Maybe a couple of pounds. Spread it over. Then what you want to do is turn all of that about 6 or 8 inches. So what you've got is a mixture of sand, peat moss, lime, and fertilizer. And you're ready to go.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
We'll get it when we get back.
Okay, we got so many questions. It's fabulous. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Got a question for Mike or a comment? 850-437-1620. Gosh darn it, we got to do this commercial, so we'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. Lots of questions coming in this morning,
great.
Mike.
Maybe it is springtime.
People are thinking about their gardens.
That is great. What you got?
Okay, so one of the questions that came in was, how much should I prune a camellia right now?
Well, a camellia is, to me, is very similar to azaleas. You prune them after they bloom. After you're satisfied that all the blooms are, you've enjoyed them and they've all gone, then you can prune back your camellia.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
But, you know, it's like the azaleas, a lot of us make the mistake of pruning them in the fall. Now, azaleas set their buds in July for the next spring. So you can prune them and it won't hurt the plant, but you'll lose all the color. That you cut off. Now, I always tell people, you know, if you've got a hedge in front of your house and all the shoots are coming up and you want to prune those off, even though they might have buds on them, have at it. Because you want the plant to look nice. Mm-hmm. And you've got enough color in the rest of the plant to enjoy in the spring. So it's not going to hurt anything to kind of keep them clean, keep them landscaped, keep them tailored, if you will. But a camellia is kind of... same thing. However, camellias really don't need a lot of pruning. Go over to North Hill and look at some of those camellias over there, some of those older houses. They have never seen a pair of pruning shears in their life. And they are fabulous.
Right?
You've got the room for that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the room for that. But so they don't really need pruning. But here's what you do. You go out to the UWF garden on the 23rd. All the camellia people will be there. Ask them.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, tell them about your camellia and ask them how far you should prune it, or even if you should. But I know they will tell you, don't touch it till after it blooms.
Okay. Very smart. Great advice. And that event is coming up on February 23rd. Is that correct?
February 23rd, noon to 4 at the UWF Camellia Gardens, which is close to Building 58. If memory serves me correctly.
My goodness. You are such a wealth of knowledge. From the names of plants to where the buildings are located.
You'll probably find Building 58 about 3 miles away from the garden.
There you go.
Bad memory.
All right. We're listening with Mike Wiggins, our definite garden expert here on Pensacola's expert panel and the Garden Line at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have questions or comments for Mike, we're going to be coming back right after the news. So just text it on in at 850-437-1620. And Mike?
Real quick, before we take our break here, I was going to say we talked about mixing the peat moss in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
As you get ready for spring, the first purchase you need to make is about, let's say, a 2 cubic foot bale of peat moss. Because anything you plant, you're going to use it in Pensacola. So that should be a staple in your equipment.
All right, I'm making my list. Peat moss is on top of the list.
It's exciting, I agree, but what can I tell you? I'm
all flustered. All right, we'll be back after the news on News Radio 92.3 with The Garden Line, 850-437-1620.
garden party.
He's back.
Ricky Nelson's back.
Ricky Nelson is back. Welcome to the studio, Ricky.
There you go.
Good to have you here.
We are having a garden party this morning.
Yes,
lots of texts coming in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk with Meg. Today's Garden Line Day with Mike Wiggins. Plenty of questions coming in. And if you've got a comment or question about gardening, 850-437-1620.
Perfect.
All right. We're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Lots of questions. Two questions have come in already.
Oh, really? Let's do the pine straw question.
That's the one, the two questions on pine straw. So it starts with this one. When putting pine straw down, should you weed or treat the area before applying the pine straw, which is intended to prevent weeds in the flower bed? The other question was about once you've put the pine straw down and then weeds start coming up, do you start over? Do you weed? So
okay.
It's all yours.
All right. Exactly.
I have no answers. It's all Mike.
Oh, well, number one. Pine straw is my favorite mulch insofar as holding weeds down, holding moisture in. It really is my favorite. Okay, but here's a couple of things about weeds. Let's do it this way. Say you haven't put the pine straw down yet. You haven't laid it out. And you've got a bunch of weeds. It's good to get rid of those weeds. You can do it manually.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another product you can use. And maybe we've got to talk about this just a second. Is use Roundup. Now, I don't think we would have said this a year ago because Roundup had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of problems. Glyphosate was the chemical in Roundup. Well, when you go buy Roundup nowadays, it's not glyphosate anymore. It's something else, which following the label, they say it is safe. The glyphosate had so many lawsuits, I think they just got rid of it. So, here's what you can do. If you've got some winter weeds coming up, I mean, they're actively growing and they're green, that's when a product like Roundup
mm-hmm.
will work.
Okay.
You can spray it and they'll die very quickly. Then you put your pine straw down. Or after you kill the weeds, whether you've taken them out manually or have sprayed them, you can use a product called Preem, which is a pre-emergence for flower beds, which will keep weeds, seeds from coming up.
Now, is that the same category as a soil amendment?
No.
That's something different.
No.
Okay.
No.
Someone asked a question about that, too.
Yeah, you would just sprinkle that. You would just sprinkle that in the bed
okay.
and kind of work it in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Pensacola. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But that's what I would do. I would, you know, somehow get rid of the weeds. I would prefer you do it manually. But if you had to do it chemically, so it goes. Put in a little pre-emergence in there if it's been a problem. You know, we always talk about integrated pest management, about not using chemicals when we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get the weeds out and say over the summer they hadn't been a big deal, you know, you can pull a few of them, then don't use any chemicals. Just put your pine straw down. But one more thing about putting it down, put it in thick. Put it in thick, maybe almost 12 inches, maybe even a little bit more. Because after a rain, so it's going to pack down. So put it in thick. And when you first put it in, it's probably going to look a little weird because it's so fluffy and big in the flower bed. But it'll pack down. Now, I think another question we had was, what do I do if the weeds start coming up through the pine straw?
Yes, that's the next question.
Right. And what is Pensacola again? You mm-hmm. go, you know, as we get into the spring and summer, you're going to have those weeds. That's where, once again, you can get out on your hands and knees and pull them, or you can use a chemical to control them. I want to say this is a secret. It's not.
It's not anymore.
It's not a secret. It's just a fact. That if
maybe
you've
a little-known fact.
If you've got a pine straw bed
mm-hmm.
with plants in it
mm-hmm.
and you want to use a product like Roundup, you would call that a non-selective weed killer, which it kills everything it touches. It'll kill the weed. That's what you want. But if you should get it on a petunia,
mm-hmm.
an azalea, it will translocate into the root system and kill roots and all.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Why you've got to be very, very careful. I've had people who did spraying in flower beds that had plants in it, and they'd get a big piece of cardboard
mm-hmm.
and put it in front of the plant and spray and then take the cardboard away. Because you don't want to get any of those chemicals on the plants. And even with the slightest wind, you can get some drift, and that's just as bad as getting it on the plant. So I still go back. My preference is to get them out manually, because they will come through the pine straw eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. But, you know, you can do it chemically if you do it right. Last thing I'll say about that, that chemical or any other chemical, I like to wear some kind of goggles, or wear a mask, a long sleeve shirt, a hat, long pants, socks, and shoes that you're not going to wear in the house, or, you know, just shoes you use just for that. So you need to dress the part, and everything will be fine.
And for the weeding, I recommend knee pads.
Knee pads are great. Knee pads are great. I tell you,
gotta have them.
We've talked about that, Meg. I got them as a Christmas present.
Love
because
it.
I was complaining. Right next to the flower bed is concrete. Mm-hmm. I was having to kneel on concrete to do a little weeding, mm-hmm. planting annuals. And I mean, you know, man, my age, you just don't want to do that.
Any age, it's tough when you're down there for an hour
anyway,
weeding.
So I got these knee pads, and we kind of laughed about it,
mm-hmm.
but. Man,
they're a godsend.
They are great, and that you get those on the internet. They're not expensive, but if you're going to be on your hands and knees, especially if you're going to be on bricks or concrete or the driveway, man, it'll save your knees.
And while we're on that topic, gardening gloves.
Absolutely.
Because I had a situation with gardening gloves, and I actually had a plant, and then the pot broke, and it was a very bad thing. So got a bad infection, all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you definitely want to wear gardening gloves.
Especially if we get to it today. We may not get to it today. But if you're going to do some rose pruning,
yes,
you have got to have it. Even hollies.
Mm-hmm.
Even hollies. I've got these Nellie Stevens hollies, which have just one point on them.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, you start reaching in there, start pruning and doing that type of thing. After I put Christmas lights on those hollies, and
that's what you said.
My hands.
Oh,
I don't
no.
I don't even want to talk about
it. Oh, well, if you just joined us, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And this is The Garden Line with our expert, for sure, Mike Wiggins. Got a question about gardening. Everybody's getting ready now. 850-437-1620. We've got a few more topics to touch when we get back, so don't go away. Good morning. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. Got a text this morning, Mike, about the same lady that was asking about her camellias, said, forced transplanting, thinking of pruning, would that help save climbs pulling out of the ground?
Well, I'm not totally sure I understand the whole question, but let's do this. Let's talk about if you want to transplant a camellia.
Okay.
One, I would wait till it blooms. And then I would go ahead and do it while we're in cooler weather. Any plant that you're going to transplant and take it from point A to point B, the cooler the weather, the better.
Okay.
It just doesn't go through a shock. Now, camellias have a much deeper root than, say, an azalea.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost pry an azalea out of the ground. But a camellia's got a pretty deep root system. So you've got to work to get as much of that root system as you can get. And then immediately, as soon as you get that one out of the ground, take it over and plant it in the new hole with the peat moss, adding water. That's the key. Plant it kind of in a mush. And then plant it at the same level it was planted in point A.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be okay. I wouldn't do any pruning on it. I think I would just let it go. But plant it with all the soil amendments. Keep it moist. I always say this, especially like planting trees, don't allow your sprinkler system to be your source of water on that transplanted plant. You don't quite get enough. Take your hose out and maybe a couple times a week, let it dribble on it for a couple of hours. Get good, deep water there. And that's what I would do. Also be careful where you plant it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to take that camellia that's grown, say, in a filtered sun environment and put it out in the full sun. Best to put it into an environment that camellias like. Pine tree shade is good, no mm-hmm. doubt about that. But some kind of semi-sunny area, not pure sun.
So they don't do as well in direct sunlight.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. There's some varieties that do better than others, but I think overall you want that filtered sun for your camellias. And then I think if you've amended the soil, you've moved it quickly, you got as much of the root system as you could get, and you've planted it in the right place, that's about what you can do. And I think you'll be successful.
Okay, that's great advice,
yeah,
as always. 850-437-1620 if you've got a question for Mike on the garden line. And we did have a question about, do you have a best gardening book that you recommend?
I have two.
Aha!
I have two. One, I don't know if you're going to be able to get. I don't know.
Okay.
My friend Mike Robertson, who owned a garden center out in Gulf Breeze, wrote a book, Gardening Along the Panhandle, all the way from Apalachicola to New Orleans.
Hmm, okay. And I remember that place.
Yeah, it was a really, really good book. He owned a little garden center. He kind of concentrated on selling trees.
Mm-hmm.
He would move trees into landscapes and just did a great job. But the book, I just really liked the book, especially if you're going to look into planting palms. He had four or five picture pages of the different palms that grow here in Pensacola. So if you can find it, I called Mike the other day, probably a couple months ago, and said, Mike, I'm doing a show with Meg, and I just want you to know that I'm going to refer to some of these things in your book. Do you mind me doing that? And he said, no, don't mind you a bit, but the book's out of print.
Oh, no.
but you might be able to find one.
Probably right.
In the library or maybe in Gulf Breeze.
It sounds like a great resource, especially because it's local.
It is. It is local. And so that's a good one. But let me tell you another one. It's not local, but so much of the information applies to us. That's called Texas Gardening by Neil Sperry. Now, Mick, Neil Sperry is the talk show guru in the United States on gardening.
Okay.
The guy's amazing.
Huh.
Amazing. Matter of fact, he wrote another book called, I'm probably going to get this wrong, 1,000 Gardening Questions and Their Answers.
Wow. And what's his name again?
Neil Sperry.
Neil Sperry.
I want to say he's out of Dallas, but I'm not sure. But the book, Texas Gardening, if you want to look at, look up annuals, which annuals do good, perennials, which vegetables, what are some of the pest problems, what are some of the disease problems, how to prepare beds. I mean, he covers it all. And for the most part, because we're sort of in the same zone. Now, he covers all of Texas, which is from North Texas to South Texas, and it's different.
Sure.
It's kind of like Pensacola and Birmingham.
Right.
It's different.
Or, yeah.
But if you really want a good book, it's called Texas Gardening by Neil Sperry. And if you really want one, that's a good one.
Okay, that's great. That is great advice. All right. Yeah. So I just need the Mike Wiggins book.
Which one is that?
The one you're going to write.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm sure every listener here would agree with me. I told him at the break, why are you not writing a gardening book? You are so knowledgeable.
That's a young man's sport.
Oh,
time has passed me by.
I don't know about that. I'm telling you, you're such a great expert. I mean, he knows every plant, every
No, that's
everything.
Not, that is not true. There's some great folks. I go back to Paul at Blue Sky. That's another expert here in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Bowles at the County Extension Service.
True, she's
very
good.
Fabulous, she really is. So many of our garden centers, from Pensacola Seed and Garden to Werner's to some of those garden centers, people have wonderful knowledge. They're out there digging in the dirt every day, and they really do know their stuff. So there's a lot of folks around that know a lot about this business, and I'm just pleased to be here myself.
Well, you always do a great job, and we get so many different kinds of questions, and he's always got some little tidbit and advice that's always so helpful. So,
well, thank you.
We really appreciate you, Mike. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. You can text in. Still, we've got a couple minutes left here at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a little break here, and then we'll be back. Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's time for The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a few minutes left, Mike. I know you wanted to touch on a couple of things.
Well, I did. Number one book I forgot.
Oh, okay.
This was written a long time ago. It's called Gardening in the Sand. It was put together by, and please, somebody listening, correct me if I've got the wrong club, but I think that was the Miraflores Garden Club put that book together. And it is very timely. It really is about things to do by season.
Okay.
And Miraflores Garden Club is a great garden club. And I think they're the ones that put it together, Gardening in the Sand. It was their Gulf Breeze Club.
Oh, okay.
So,
Gardening
in the Sand is an apt title, no question about that. So you might want to look that up if you know somebody in that garden club. Okay, second thing I want to mention, I probably should have led the show off with this, Mick, is it's time, we like middle of February, to put our pre-emergence weed control on the lawn.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't seem like it's time to put anything on the lawn. This is a time you can sit back and watch football and not worry about what you're putting on the lawn. But middle of February, let's say to the 1st of March at least, is time to put pre-emergence, because that's going to inhibit the weeds from coming up. Once they've poked their little head through the lawn, it's too late.
It's too late.
You've got to stop them before they come up. So we do it mid-February, and some of the experts will say, do it again in 6 weeks if it's not too hot, because you got to look at the temperatures then. But, yeah, that's a good idea. But this is the most important time to do it. And the way you don't want to do it, and I know our listeners are sick of me preaching this sermon, but don't put your pre-emergence on via a weed and feed product.
Oh, that's
don't
right.
Don't do it. Don't
okay.
do it. Remember, mm-hmm. you don't want that high-powered nitrogen on the lawn this time of year. We need to wait. We need to wait probably till April, at least, maybe May, to fertilize the lawn with the proper fertilizer. And we'll get into all of that at the time.
So I have a question. When you say pre-emergence now, when you're talking about this, what are you talking about specifically? What would you recommend?
There are different chemicals that do that. Atrazine is one. Dimension is one. Pendimethalin is one. You're probably not going to want to put it out with a spray. Mm-hmm. And atrazine, you can use it. But you just need to do this. When you buy the pre-emergence, be sure you read the label. I'm bad about not wanting to read all the fine print. But sometimes the fine print on weed control will say, we will kill weeds. We will keep weeds from coming up. Oh, by the way, don't use it on St. Augustine grass.
Oh, gee. That's not good. Right. Oh, my goodness.
So you got to be kind of careful about what you use. So anyway, middle of February, 1st of March, we'll talk about that next week again. I just wanted to remind everybody that it's time.
Yes, it is. Great okay. show, Mike. You're so always full of so much great and helpful information.
Well, thank you.
This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.